very much a pleasure to be joined on the show by NRL referee Gavin Badger, who his career as a referee is about to come to an end. He's running the line in the Penrith Canterbury game this weekend. Gavin, great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm going good. How are you, fellas?
Yeah, we're very well, thank you. Just describe the emotions of the past few days.
Oh, it's like anything. You know, you do something for so long and it just becomes, you know, the routine and the norm. And then all of a sudden, everything changes up. So, yeah, it's a bit of a culture shock sort of thing. And you know, knowing that something that you love doing and something that you've done for so long, you're not going to be doing it anymore.
Yeah, congratulations, Gavin, on a wonderful career. Will you continue to referee? Like a player retires from international cricket and goes back and plays first class, or will you continue to ref? Will you go back to club footy, or what's your plans?
Probably not. Like here and there, I'll probably do some charity stuff and that, you know, and help out where I can. And
yeah,
but it's so much tougher than refereeing the NRL, except for refereeing at lower levels. I don't know if I can handle it.
What have you made of the return to one referees this season, Gav?
I don't mind it. But it, like everything, has its pros and cons. I think, you know, having another referee out behind adds to decision making accuracy. A big part of why we went to two referees in 2009 was just that, when things were happening in a ruck, like strips and lost balls and stuff, when we're getting them wrong, we found that the camera from behind was the one that was picking it up the best, you know, when we're in review. So that's why we put someone behind there to assist with that. So we lose a little bit of decision-making accuracy, but, you know, the confidence of the referee and being able to do their thing and, you know, not sort of have to worry about someone else's sort of structure of a game is good for the guys that are doing it.
Gav, what do you think about the scrutiny that comes with refereeing, umpiring? You know, guys in your role, male and female, are under a lot of pressure every single time they walk onto the field. And do you think it's fair, the criticism that comes with it? And is there an expectation that you know what you're walking into when you sign up for the job?
Oh, there's a bit of both. Everyone wishes they were perfect and could be perfect, but for some reason, there is a high expectation on officials in any sport to be perfect. And the same scrutiny is not put on the players. And, you know, you think about some of the, you know, a missed tackle or a drop ball to win a game. And a lot of the post-mortem of that is, you know, oh, we feel sorry for that player, or, you know, he must be feeling so bad. But if a referee makes that error, the first thing is sack, you know, that person should be sacked. That's incompetent and, you know, that's unprofessional. So, the story behind a referee making a mistake is get rid of them and they're incompetent. If a player makes a mistake, it's the stories around, oh, yeah, let's get around this person. They need to be looked after. So that's, to me, that's the biggest one. Because referees are human and we all go home to families and we're involved in the sport, whatever sport it is, an official. You don't wake up and say, I want to be an official. What sport am I going to do? You wake up as a lover of the sport and want to be involved in it. And, you know, if officiating is your thing, that's what you do. So you do it because you love the sport.
Mm.
And the last thing you want to do is have, especially at the highest level, is have a decision that impacts the result of the game. And you know, then for the whole week you read about it in the papers. And in this day and age with social media, it just never stops.
Gav, have you got a favourite game or a favourite moment that stands out to you?
I've spoken about this a little bit this week. My favourite moments in that are more off-field than on-field. I'm just a big kid, and for me, being able to do what I've done for so long, it's like being at school. So I get a roster for where I've got to be all week, and then on the weekend I've got footy, which is exactly like it was for me at school. So there's moments in the office, you know, where as a group we have some good banter and stuff like that. So they're the best moments. But my best experience in rugby league was in 2007 when I went to Papua New Guinea with the Prime Minister's 13 side, and we sort of went over there for a couple of days and refereed rugby league in Papua New Guinea, which is, you know, it's an experience in itself. And that's probably my best ever memory of rugby league.
Gav, me, like a lot of our listeners, want to know, what is it like to referee Cameron Smith? He cops that much stick, like he's a second ref out there. Is he that bad or what?
No. So this is the thing. And he cops a lot of it, Cameron, right? But the reason why he is was the captain of Australia, captain of Queensland, and so respected by people that play with him, is that he is so professional. So as a captain, he knows when he can approach the referee. So other captains come at the wrong times and they get told go away, where Cameron knows when, so he never gets told to go away because he knows when he can and can't do it. He knows how to say things and what to say. He doesn't go over the line. So he never gets turned away because he's too aggressive or uses language or anything like that. So because he's so good at what he does, it looks like that he's manipulating or he gets away with a lot more than anyone else. But what he does is he's just professional. He's just the ultimate professional, and he gets a bad rap. And it's a running joke with everyone that he's the extra referee out in the field.
Loz is sitting here disagreeing with you, Gabby. He hates it.
I know everyone does. I get the same response every time I talk to them. But when he needs to get put in his place, he gets put in his place, don't worry.
Righto, Gav. I need an honest answer here. Who's the most annoying player you've had to referee?
I've answered this one a fair bit, but everyone's going to laugh and everyone's going to say, yeah, we know this exactly. But Michael Ennis.
I should have guessed.
Not for what people think. So, Michael Ennis, everyone called him the grub and all that. But he was one of the smartest footballers I ever refereed, because you knew when you refereed Michael Ennis, be on your toes. Because if something happened, he was coming at you, and he was coming at you educated as well. Like, you knew what he was talking about. And if you said the wrong word or slipped up, God help you.
Did you ever find yourself during a game that when you made a mistake and a player sort of came to you to argue the point, and then when they're arguing, you think, I think he's right, but I can't change my mind now. Just get away, though. Yeah. I've made my decision. Did you ever go through periods like that?
Plenty of times.
Sounds like you have to be a school teacher.
Yeah, well, especially when they're talking to you and, arguing a decision or whatever, and you're looking up and you're sort of watching out of the corner of your eye on the big screen and you sort of go, oh, no, he's right.
I have that in here because yesterday I went, I like the Broncos, and then they said, why are you tipping the Broncos? And I went, home ground advantage and Payne Haas. And then they go, well, David Fafita's not playing and it's Gavin Cooper's last game and Tao Malolo's back. And I thought, they're right, but I can't change now.
Now, Gavin, you're the third most capped referee behind Bill Harrigan and Ben Cummins. So why do you think that you haven't been getting a game this year, and why have you been told?
There's many factors. I've been around for 18 years, so everyone's time sort of gets tapped on the shoulder. I honestly don't believe that I'm finished. I think that I've got a bit to give. I'm fitter than I've ever been in the whole time I've been in there. Broke our on-field fitness test record only 2 months ago, so still physically right up there. In refereeing, we have one team. There's no other team to go to. So if the coach at the time believes that you're not part of the going forward of the organisation, then that's it. You don't have anywhere else to go. So that's sort of where I'm at the moment. Where being one of the older guys, I think that I get that you need progression and stuff like that, and you can always look at bringing new people in and youth in. So I think that might be a bit of it.
Are you still doing some work with the New South Wales Rugby League, Gap?
Yeah. Yep. So I've been there part-time for 4 years. So I work in ref development there, looking after young referees, coaching our junior rep squad and, running referees courses and stuff like that. So spoke to Trotto a couple of days ago, and hopefully there's a full-time gig for me there somewhere. So, Trotto's a great man. So he'll
champion.
Well, Gavin, congratulations on a great career as a referee, and really appreciate your time this morning, and enjoy running the line there in the Penrith Canterbury game on the weekend.
I'll have some fun.